Steve Dombowski is joining us, former football coach and football standout at Swampscott, now the head football coach at Milton. And Steve, welcome. Thanks for taking some time to join us.
My pleasure, Bill.
Great to catch up with you again. And Steve left Swampscott several years ago now, and now is the head football coach at Milton. You do live down on the South Shore, so that probably necessitated that move or contributed to it. But the MIAA held a meeting earlier this week on divisions and football playoffs, and I know you're active on that, on those committees. So what information can you share with us?
Well, it's a long process. As most people that follow it are aware, the all-state proposal put forward by the TMC in this spring was approved. The proposal was part of an effort by the Tournament Management Committee that Jim O'Leary from St. John's Prep is the chairman of, to create a level and consistent format for all of the tournaments that the MIA runs. When the board of directors was getting harassed over situations that would develop in athletics, particularly like the one that related to football, is currently the Division III from the East Division matches up with several schools from Central and Western Massachusetts that are Division I size, but play in Division III because there wasn't enough Division I schools in that section to create a bracket. And that, you know, is resulted in this year, Duxbury, you know, it was a very good team, losing to Springfield Central, who ended up at the Max Preps rated number one team in the state in Division III. And then that's also happened the last, you know, happened to Tewksbury 2 years ago, and then it happened to North Attleboro the year before that. But there are other examples of these types of issues, and that's why the All-State proposal came forward. I didn't think personally it was going to pass because of the concern of travel, but it did. And now it's kind of left the football committee with having to come up with first divisional alignment and then basically plan an alternative plan or fall into what the tournament management committee voted on, which was an 8-week season with 16 teams going to a tournament.
So now, again, to refresh our listeners, that the statewide tournament that you were referring to was the one that takes away North, South, Central, West, and now that I think about it, in football, obviously that's how we kind of have funneled teams toward the Super Bowl, is through those formats. And I do remember, I forgot what the division is, Steve, but it I think it impacts what Marblehead and Danvers, those teams up here, is it 4 or 3, whatever. There's some teams play the extra game and some don't, depending on the year. So there's that issue too, right?
Right. It was divisions 1 and 3. Actually, 1, 4, and 6 had only 3 sections in it, so the bye would rotate.
Yeah. Okay.
Division 1 and 2, the last few years, have not had a semifinal. They won the sectional and they advanced.
Yeah.
So it didn't bother them with Thanksgiving preparation. It's caused more problems in the lower divisions, and that's basically because as you study the state, and football now has 280 teams, it's down from 313. These smaller schools have been forced, a lot of them, to go to co-op. In the East, you would recognize that in Boston. There used to be 12 Boston City schools, and now there are 8. And several of those, we've lost West Roxbury, we've lost Madison Park. There's a couple others, I don't know them all memorized, but they've gone into co-ops with other Boston schools. And, you know, that's led to West basically shrinking in numbers, but the idea behind the proposal is that the divisions will now be done across the state with some equal criteria that the Tournament Management Committee has laid out. And there are, you know, some concerns. So that was one of the things we covered in the meeting, I guess to stay on point and not drag it out for people, the first thing was the MIA football committee had a subcommittee which met to align the schools. The tournament management committee had kind of lumped in football with the proposal with an understanding that they would probably need some exceptions along with hockey because of the uniqueness of the two sports. That's what Jared Shannon, a member of the TMC, said the other day at their meeting. So we looked at their recommendation of five divisions and felt that it was not correct. As you may recall, the original Coaches Association plan in 2012 had six divisions. What ended up happening was that there really was an unfair amount of teams pushed down into six and divisions six and five, which made their chances of qualifying for the tournament in the East difficult when the upper divisions had relatively an easier path just to qualify. You know, when there were eight of 11 or eight of 12 teams would make it. So that led to the expansion of the divisions to eight from six. So the subcommittee felt that we've already gone down this road before, and in order to give all schools of all size an equal opportunity, eight was the right amount. So we voted on that and the subcommittee and did that. Then we broke the teams out, and the TMC provides criteria. It's on their website, and it's, you know, you can find it under the tournament management tab, and it's kind of loosely written, but we applied the three formal factors that are clear and defined in the document, which are providing two divisions down for a vocational school, one division up for a private school, and one division up for a co-op school. And we did that, and we looked at it, and we still felt that there needed to be some additional relief for vocational schools. So we're lucky to have Donnie Harris from Northeast Metro Tech on the subcommittee. He had some great vision into where those schools should be aligned. And we made we basically moved them about one more division. Then after that, there was conversation of, you know, the urban factor, which is a very touchy subject and an area where I think out of just, I guess, being politically correct, they haven't truly defined what it is. That's a factor that's allowed a school like in your area, like Revere, to play down a little bit when their enrollment's a little bit higher because they don't get participation. And we then added what we called an outlier column where we moved schools that needed some relief because of participation, and they call it the urban factor. Mm-hmm. So we presented that to the full football committee. Jim O'Leary, who serves on both committees, basically advised us that we didn't follow the rules. The committee, you know, we spent a lot of time discussing it. We broke out our vote into three sections. One was to approve the eight divisions. Two was to approve the alignment. And the third vote, you know, Jim wanted, at least supposedly the TMC wanted, if we were going to alter the criteria for sorting the teams, we needed to provide a plan to go along with it. And we didn't have a plan prepared yet because we just haven't discussed it, even though I have a ton of data and research, and we can get into that next. So we passed the eight divisions, the football committee did. That will now go to the TMC for their review. And we passed the alignment of the eight divisions. And that will go to the TMC for their review. And this, it's possible that they will bounce it back because we applied our own additional criteria on top of theirs. And we did that basically with the assumption that we would be saving them, you know, 50 or 60 appeals from schools around the state based on, you know, the factors that they don't define, in urban being the number one and participation being number two. So that's a lot.
Right? Yeah. So you're right. So I get it that basically, though, it's still not an active plan because they haven't approved the third prong of that. Does that sound right?
That is correct. And it's also the TMC is almost like a mini board of directors now, where they're overseeing everything the sports committees do, and they have to approve it. So the TMC is going to look at the divisional request and say, yes, you can have eight, or no, come back to us with another plan. But I think what they're really going to want to see is they want to see the plan that the football committee wants to bring forward. The football committee, like as I said, hasn't discussed, except for our meeting the other day where I presented facts and information and concerns expressed by the Coaches Association and an alternative plan. So we're kind of in the beginning stages of communication on the football committee, while the Coaches Association, which is how I'm on the board, I represent the Coaches Association, has done two surveys since the end of last season, and come up, you know, in our most recent survey, we actually provided four sample plans, which are on our website, and asked and some other criteria on the process, and provided that to our coaches in the state and asked them to vote on that. And what basically came out of that is there is a strong amount of coaches in Massachusetts that want the postseason to begin in the postseason after Thanksgiving. So when we asked them, I'll just start from the beginning. When we asked them how many divisions we should have, the majority, 66%, said we should have eight. So that's kind of what we led with. When we asked the coaches what was most important to them, 50% said post-Thanksgiving, no consolation games. The choices were post-Thanksgiving, no consolation, eight teams qualify per division, six teams qualify, or an other. And it was 50% was post-Thanksgiving, followed by 26% was second, with eight teams qualifying. So there's definitely more of a trend to pull back from this current system, which qualified at least 16 in every division, and in most cases, 24. Is that... You following me here?
No, actually, believe it or not, I think I am following you.
So go ahead, ask.
Well, so the point is, where do we stand on that aspect? Because that would mean postseason would start after Thanksgiving. But is that nothing takes effect this year in 2020?
Correct.
But where does the group stand on that piece?
So the number one plan that we came out, we put up our three plans versus what we assumed to be the current TMC plan, because it's not in writing. All we knew was the TMC voted for an eight-week season, so we assumed it would be the same type of criteria as it is now. The divisions would be broken out. After 8 weeks, the top eight teams would be selected. Everyone else would receive a consolation game in week nine, a consolation game in week 10, and the playoffs would go... Week 9 would be the Sweet 16. Week 10 would be the quarterfinals. Week 11, that, you know, Saturday before Thanksgiving, would be the semifinals. And then the Super Bowls would happen, you know, a week and a half there after Thanksgiving. So that's what we assumed for Plan 1. And then we compared three other plans, one being a 10-week season ending on Thanksgiving, with eight teams advancing into a two-week tournament. So it would be, you'd play on Thanksgiving. Everyone would finish on Thanksgiving. The week before Thanksgiving would be a mandatory bye, what in the MIA schedule is week 11.
Yes.
And it would also be a bye required somewhere between week 4 and 6. This is something that we copied from Connecticut. The idea behind it is everybody finishes the season on the same date. We eliminate consolation games. The majority of schools are going to move on to the next season. 23% of the football-playing schools will qualify for the tournament.
And
ranges in the current divisions as we align them, that ranges from 28% in Division One, which has the smallest amount of schools currently with 28, and to Division Eight, which has 40 teams, and that would put 20% of their teams in the tournament. So you really need to be in the cream of the crop to qualify in that plan.
So, Steve, let me just feel free to continue on where I'm interrupting you. But again, the plan you're talking about right now would be, is the Saturday before Thanksgiving, like it was in the old days, there would be no games. Then, you know, right? Is that what you're saying? And then,
yeah. So this is plan two. If people want to go to the Coaches Association website, is MHSFCA, which, you know, basically is the acronym for Massachusetts High School Football Coaches Association .net. And then it's under our, you know, playoff history. And we listed out basically the current situation, how it's going to move forward, how it's moved, what's evolved, how we believe the current plan that we're in now was the only step that we could take to get us to a state title. Because you remember the old days, there were 19 state champions and two vocational champions. We had 21 mm-hmm. state champions in 2011, which, you know, we felt was obviously too many. And we cut it to 6. It wasn't right. We got it to 8. It seems like it's the right number. So this plan would continue following a combination of those two plans post-Thanksgiving, eliminate the bad things, which the coaches have told us, and then bring forward the top 20 to 28% per division.
So again, I think I saw some of Danny V's tweets during the day this week. And so then if you play on Thanksgiving and you're in the tournament, you'd play like 10 days later on the Saturday?
No, you'd play Tuesday.
Yeah, the old day. Okay.
Like the old days.
Yep.
Now, the difference in from the old days is now the second round would be Sunday. So you'd have an extra day of rest and preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you advance to the final, it would be the following Saturday where you'd get 6 days.
So it would be the winner of the Super Bowl or the Super Bowl would be your third playoff game then?
Correct.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
So Connecticut's been doing this for about 6 years. You might have seen the new town through a Hail Mary at the end of the it got a lot of national publicity this year, but that was the week after our Super Bowls this year. And again, this would be a format that would accomplish everything that the Tournament Management Committee was asked to do, which was create a plan that basically a consistency amongst the playoffs in the state. So now we'd end our regular season, and we'd have a postseason. We would no longer have our playoffs in the regular season,
mm-hmm.
and also maintain Thanksgiving, which the last time they surveyed the membership, 87% were in favor of keeping Thanksgiving Day games.
Yeah, that sounds great in some ways, absolutely, and. So now there's that proposal. Is there a third one after that, Steve, you were alluding to? Or?
Well, this, we made up three plans. One was the post-Thanksgiving 8 team.
Yep.
The next one was a post-Thanksgiving 4 team tournament, which basically was the Tuesday, Saturday of the old with the new statewide divisions. And the third one was a 9-week season with 8 teams qualifying and not extending the season. Only plan two currently in the survey, and this wasn't presented to the Football Coaches Association. this was part of our survey to our coaches, kind of giving them different possible options that fit in. You know, they all had some type of change, but they all, you know, brought something different, whether it was eight teams or 16 teams or four teams, whatever it might have been, to the tournament. So the bottom line was, the you know, all three of the plans that we proposed, coaches voted head-to-head against the current assumed plan and liked our plan better. The best of the four was this post-Thanksgiving 18 playoff that received 40% of the vote. And the other three plans, you know, ranged from 13% to 27%. So it's, you know, four choices is a lot. But we, you know, our executive board of the association has received a lot of, you know, really complaints about consolation games, the way they're selected, the meeting process, just the emotional ups and downs that the players go through when they're eliminated from the tournament, and also really just the lack of focus being taken away, and Thanksgiving not as being as not being relevant. I mean, the day when Swampscott and Marblehead played, when I was still there in week four of the regular season, it did take away a little bit of the focus on the tradition of Thanksgiving when we had to play, when we played in season. That wasn't required at that time, but, you know, the communication continues to still be the big thing with getting information to either to the football coaches or to the membership or to the athletic directors. There's just so this, it doesn't, you know, you're basically only hitting about 66% of the people who need to know when these decisions are made. And that took a few years before the Northeast Conference said, we need to eliminate that. And that's kind of, you know, I don't know if we'll ever solve the full communication piece, but we can solve a lot of the problems of the current plan that the new TMC plan didn't solve. But to give the TMC credit, the statewide plan does solve the divisional process. It does create an equal path to a championship, and it creates a criteria for an equal criteria for all areas of the state to qualify and be seated in the tournament, which is the Max Preps rating system, which is another huge question mark that, because of its proprietary nature, you know, a lot of, we're told kind of how it works, but there's no way to say, hey, if I win 7 of my 10 games against my league and my non-conference opponents, is that going to give me enough? You know, you knew in the old system that's still in place for this fall, by the way, but you knew if you won so many games, you were going to get so many points. So if you won 9 games in a 10-game season, you were probably going to qualify because you just had enough points from the wins. Now, we don't know that in the current system, and one thing that, you know, Brian St. Pierre pointed out to me in my conversations and research was that St. John's Prep, you know, who went, I believe, 11-1, lost one game by 2 points to CM during the regular season, beat, you know, Central Catholic twice. They beat CM in the Super Bowl, and then they beat, you know, Everett and whoever else they had on their schedule, which is always difficult, and they finished third. So Springfield Central, who lost to Central Catholic and who lost to CM, who won Division III, finished first, and they had two losses in their season. And the second place team was Mansfield, whose only loss was out of state. So, you know, the big thing with the Max Preps rating is the size of the school in the division is not as, gets as much weight as your schedule and who you play. And a lot of those times we can't control, you know, the games that we're required to play.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have these issues, I think, if you go to that system, which is still probably the way to go, I guess. I mean, you have smaller schools. Take, for example, Swampscott. They're playing up throughout most of their year, if you will, division-wise, right, in the current system, and they would benefit from that, right?
In the max prep system, the competitive teams that Swampscott played, and even let's talk about the three teams they lost to. Marblehead, good, strong season, good, great program. Danvers, up and coming, great program, undefeated in the regular season this year. And Lynn English, who again another winning season, and you know Coach Carroll's done a great job there. So they lose those three games. I think all of them within 4 or 5 points,
mm-hmm.
And that wouldn't have hurt them as much in max preps. But in the current system, it made him a 4 seed.
Gotcha.
So it would have been beneficial to Swampscott last year if max preps was the rating system, we assume, because they finished higher in the state rankings at the end of the year than my team that went 10-1. And the primary reason why is they had strength of schedule, and my team played 9 of our 11 opponents did not finish with a winning record this year.
That's right, because it's coming back to me, Steve, ever so slowly. What was Swampscott's seed this year? It wasn't a great seed, right?
They were 4.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. And they had a narrow win against Beverly, but that was when Beverly was doing well. I think before they had some injuries and stuff. So that was a big win for them. Yeah,
I mean Swamp. I mean, don't get me started on the Northeast Conference. I mean, the way they align the teams is not beneficial to the schools with the smaller enrollment, and it's not going to do those bigger schools any advantage if they play a smaller school. Currently, that's a big concern with the coaches' association is with the great unknown of how Max Preps is going to treat the schedule, the competitiveness, because the size of the school in the divisions we're told do not matter, and a lot of coaches still say, "Well, how am I going to? I can't control the teams I'm required to play in my conference," so. You know, we'll see. But at least in this formula, there is no outside influence. You know, then I think that's one of the reasons why the TMC chose this as a method to seed and evaluate. And we are going to seed and evaluate in this fall by Max Preps. So regardless of what happens in 2021, the seeding and qualification is Max Preps this year, so you won't be able to get the tweets from the Herald or the Globe and go to their site and see the rating on Saturday night and how Friday and Saturday's games changed seeding on a weekly basis this year. You'll have to wait till Monday when Max Preps updates the standings.
All right.
You have to hope that the coach or the AD then entered the score in the Max Preps, which is a concern. That's something that hasn't consistently happened. And in researching, you know, the teams in the state and the plans, Max Preps currently doesn't have all 280 teams listed on their website. So, you know, I've asked. I'm not sure how that relationship is going to develop, but supposedly we've been told that Max Preps is going to customize, you know, their page on the state of Massachusetts to update all the teams and the divisions so that all the data will be available for everyone to see.
Yeah. Steve, you know, going back a few minutes here, but when you mentioned the 4 plans, to me, I think you've sorted out what the 4 very good, 4 reasonable considerations, if you will. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you've gotten to really where we're at right now with what the tournament committee has proposed for all sports, and then adapting it or adjusting it or modifying for football. So, I mean, I think the four choices are, those are excellent choices. I mean, that's the, those are the real choices that people have to make. And so where do you think this goes then with the, you know, selecting one of those four choices?
Well, the, so the football committee, the, we, I presented the plan two, we call it, which is the 10-week season with the extra bye date and the eight teams advancing. I discussed all of the basic improvements to the current plan, and I can quickly read you those. You know, basically the key factors going into our decision were, you know, the football is unique, and the TMC needs to recognize that we only play 10 games, and we were lumped in the state plan with teams to play, or I should say sports to play 20. We need more divisions to appropriately account for the variety of the size of the teams. And the divisions, you know, obviously having eight provides more balance and an opportunity. We want to have a longer regular season. We want to eliminate consolation games, and we understand as an association that less teams will qualify. The postseason tournament should be, you know, we believe true to what other MIAA teams get and be in the postseason, not part of the regular season. We also want to eliminate the scheduling nightmares of that the ADs and coaches come up with finding JV and freshman games, scheduling last-minute consolation games, and things like that, which happen, you know, obviously in the East, it happens in weeks 8 through 10. And then we want to have a percentage of teams that, you know, our coaches voted that 20% of the top 20% should advance, and 30% was second. So that range of 20 to 28% falls right into what the coaches believed should qualify. And the coaches also believed that, you know, an 18 tournament was a fair amount. And then the other, you know, the other key factor is Thanksgiving. I told you about the 87% of schools that were, that surveyed. And again, this was in 2014, but everyone was in favor of keeping it, keeping Thanksgiving. And that, you know, we want to make Thanksgiving relevant again. We want to make Mike Lynch happy. You know, he's always a big, you know, advocate of Thanksgiving. But attendance and revenue has been down, and it's caused Thanksgiving rivals to play twice, you know, once in the regular season and once on, you know, once then. And it can happen in the playoffs as well, but I'm not sure it has. And we also wanted to eliminate the situation where teams hold out their players, or in one case, in Central Mass, they canceled the Thanksgiving Day game because both teams were in the tournament. So we said if we can acknowledge football is unique, if we can establish eight divisions, if we can increase the regular season, eliminate consolation games, make Thanksgiving relevant again, improve player safety with the extra buys, have a set schedule, have a true postseason, and include 20 to 28% of the teams, Plan 2 does that, and we are going to post the presentation. I'll probably get it up on the website today that we gave the TMC. But it basically, you know, it has two pages of bullets on how the tournament would work. You know, then we have a couple of recommended amendments, you know, that basically for safety reasons, the coaches felt that after Thanksgiving, players should only practice in helmets and shoulder pads, and that we also recommended, which received some heat, that the preseason in the winter be extended 5 more days so that as teams transition out of the playoffs, those coaches have a chance to work those kids in to their tryouts or rotations or schemes as – you know, as they come. So that was an option. People thought we were saying push back the winter. We're only saying extend the preseason. So everyone would still start their winter sports season on the Monday after Thanksgiving, but you wouldn't play a game for 15 days instead of currently, which is a 10-game preseason. So, you know, that's a recommendation. It's not a requirement. And we just felt like it, you know, the eight divisions puts us in line with the only other team in Massachusetts, which plays on Thanksgiving and has half the teams that we have, which is Connecticut. Connecticut has 141 teams. They play in four divisions. We have 280. It's not hard to do the math. Eight divisions makes sense. Makes Thanksgiving relevant. The playoff qualifications include all games, and the league championship will matter, obviously, because some leagues are still determined on Thanksgiving. It moves the playoffs back to the postseason, eliminates consolation games, adds the two byes for player safety, relieves athletic directors from needing to schedule those games and consolations and JV and freshman stuff, and then we're putting it in, again, that top 20 to 28%, and then the MIA can run all the games. You know, the first round game would on the Tuesday night would be at the higher seed, and then the semifinal and the final would go neutral. And then the one big thing, the argument or disadvantage is it would require the one-week extension of the season, and that would be a rule change that probably would prompt this plan to be an all-state vote again, similar to what happened in 2012.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll tell you, that's I think it's a better plan than what we have now. I mean, I really do. I think it's a better plan, and I think it makes a lot of sense. And I do think that, I mean, I don't want to get winter coaches all upset at me, but it seems like that's a pretty reasonable piece to delay the start of games. Pretty well thought out, in my opinion, to be quite honest with you. So, yeah, I mean, sounds interesting. And again, the timetable moving forward on this, it's still you know, it's still out there.
So, yeah, I can give you we need to have a plan to the TMC by March 1st of 2021. The MIA football committee is, you know, setting up a subcommittee to continue to discuss, you know, the different plan options. I'm on that subcommittee because obviously I've done the most research out of anybody, and I'm also continuing to work with the Coaches Association. We actually have a call tonight where we're going to review the meeting from Tuesday and continue to discuss and fine-tune the proposal, because what's been great for us is the Zoom call, or the development of us, you know, that we've been forced to, you know, go to the virtual meetings. It's allowed us to get more participation from Central and Western Massachusetts, where we're now able to reach more of our coaches because they can log in to the meeting and gather the data and bring it back to their people. So we've actually, you know, from the side of the Coaches Association, we've been able to build get more opinions and just overall strengthen our association by using the technology that we've been forced to develop, you know. So, you know, I'm hopeful that this is going to end up in a system that, you know, really brings back Thanksgiving and allows the, you know, the true teams, the elite 20% that deserve to be in the tournament, that opportunity. And for those that don't make it, you still, you know, play your football season, and it still concludes with what traditionally has been the apex of every high school player's career in that Thanksgiving Day morning.
Yeah, Steve, I got one last question, and I'll let you go because I appreciate all the time you're spending with us here and explaining this whole thing. Is that, you know, I hearken back to the days when they had the old point system. This is, back late 70s, I guess it was, 80 or something like that. They were only two teams from each division were selected for postseason after Thanksgiving, went to the Super Bowl. Very unfair, I think, for team three or four, if you will, because as Coach St. Pierre might pointed out in this, if you did that, this past year, they would have been out of the postseason and they ended up winning the Super Bowl again. But, you know, so my question to you, the last question to you, Steve, is how do you see the difference between having four teams in the postseason opposed to eight teams per division? What's the thinking there? I mean, tell me your thoughts on that piece.
Well, I mentioned the max prep system and how we don't know how it's going to affect the state. you know, one of the things we do know is Springfield Central rolled through the West. I mean, I think they gave up two or three touchdowns in their games in the West. They did travel out East, and as I mentioned, they played Central Catholic, Everett, and CM. And they won one of those games. They were all competitive games. And what that leads us to believe is that people are going to have to challenge themselves. Right now in Massachusetts, when coaches go out to find games, if you're a successful program, often people don't want to play you. So as you ask Brian St. Pierre, for example, it's very difficult for St. John's to fill their schedule. And if they do find someone that wants to play them because they're assuming they're going to have a good team, they're often having to go on the road to play that opponent. So this, we're hoping that with Max Preps, there'll be more of a more schools willing to challenge themselves a little bit, knowing that if they can play a competitive game and lose, it's not going to hurt them as much. But that's an assumption. So there's a lot. The Max Preps thing is a complete wild card at this point. But that's why we feel 8 is the right number. And it's also because we went from 4 to 16 to 24 in a division going in, we feel that going to 8 is a fair split in the middle. If we went back to 4, you know, we'd be, you know, maybe cutting out a team that has the capability or got up, you know, improved during the course of the season. So we feel 8 is the right number. There is still a fair amount of people that would like to see a 16-team tournament. In my personal opinion, I don't think the TMC is going to let us come forward with an 8-division plan to put 16 teams in. I think that's 128 schools in the tournament, which would be in line percentage-wise with, you know, the other team sports that play 20 games. You know, a basketball team gets in at 10-10. It's a different animal when you can play basketball in 2 or 3 days. In football, you need at least 5 days to recover and prep. So that's why we're leaning strongly towards, you know, staying with 8, but there is a fair amount of coaches that believe 16 is the right number. But I think the whole what people need to understand is when we do put forward a presentation, it's going to include, according to what Jim O'Leary said in the call Tuesday, the TMC is going to consider the amount of divisions, the amount of teams that will qualify, and, that percentage has got to be somewhere within reason. So I don't think we'd get 8 divisions and get 16 teams in. That's my personal thought. And everything from the divisions that we put forward to the alignment of the teams within the division is still up to the TMC to vote on. So as I've told coaches that I've been bombarded with emails, texts, and calls, where you are in the proposal now for your division isn't set in stone. You know, the teams that are going to be Division I pretty much know they're Division I, and they're okay with that. But, you know, as it flows, you know, the current proposal we put forward only has 28 teams in Division I. If it was a balanced proposal, it puts 35. So that would push, you know, 7 up, which would then push another 15 up into Division II. So it would totally alter what's out there. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are still in flow, but, you know, so far, I think fans, players, coaches can realize that the due diligence is being done. The discussions are happening. It's positive, and we're going to come out of this with a system that the majority wants. And, you know, hopefully, at least from the Coaches Association, it's a post-Thanksgiving system. But it might not be. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Well, I think it's great work, Steve, and I really appreciate your insight in explaining to me kind of the story behind the story on, you know, the difference between four postseason teams and eight postseason teams and the scheduling piece involved behind that. And I get it. I think that that makes a lot of sense and so on. So, well, Steve, you've done a lot of work. Obviously, you've got a lot more process to continue on with. But, again, thanks for sharing all this information with us. And anything else that that you want to share with us, I want to make sure that you close with making sure you get everything out here.
No, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we just want to educate and receive feedback. We respect the different opinions that certain coaches are adamant for four, some want 16, and we're kind of going from the association standpoint with the majority, and we're trying to, you know, eliminate the problems that the All-State plan didn't eliminate. But we do believe overall that, you know, having statewide divisions with the equal path and the same criteria to qualify and seed is an improvement, because right now the East has one system, Central has their own rating system, and the West has their own rating system. So that's been eliminated already for 2020, but the all divisions don't come in until 2021.
Gotcha. Well, Steve, thanks so much for your time. And again, thanks for all your work you're doing on this. It's a very, very interesting stuff. And I, as I mentioned a moment ago, you've done a lot of work. So thanks for all of this. And thanks for sharing this with us and our listeners.
Thank you, Bill.
Yep. Steve Dembowski, head football coach at Milton, of course, former football coach and athlete at Swampscott High School, here with us on MSONewsSports.com.